Good morning. Good to see you all by faith again here this morning. As Brother Aaron mentioned last week, when he started saying, "We see you," I thought that he was looking at me, but he said, "By faith." So it's good to see you in that way again here this morning. I was fully expecting several weeks ago, as I thought about sharing here, that where I am, there you would be also. But it's okay. We are thankful for this avenue of communication and technology here. So we want to take a look this morning at how Jesus closed the Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, Jesus shows us practically how to live out the Father's will under the new covenant. And sometimes I get the feeling that even though David was living under the new covenant, the old covenant era, that he, in some ways, almost understood and lived out the new covenant principles in ways that many Christians aren't living today under the new covenant era. And listen to what David said in Psalm 51 in his prayer of repentance. And this is new covenant language that he uses here. Psalm 51, after Nathan the prophet had confronted him, he says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." And this is in his prayer in chapter 51 and verse 6. "You desire truth in the inward parts." And so he understood something there that sounds very much like new covenant language. Jeremiah, God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 31 and verse 31, the Lord speaking here through the prophet Jeremiah, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, and although I was an husband unto them." Verse 33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts." Notice, that's the same word that David used in his prayer of repentance. "In their inward parts. And write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." And this is relationship restored between the Father and His people. Relationship restored. Now, verse 34, it says, "And they shall no more every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least even unto the greatest of them, says the Lord, and I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Thank you, Lord. Ezekiel also speaks here, the Lord speaking through the Ezekiel, the prophet here, in chapter 36, verse 26 and 27. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." Now, some people would say that practically living out Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount is not really possible for us today, but it's some future thing out there that we'll be a part of and be able to live out. I really believe that this Sermon on the Mount is God's will for His children to live out today under the new covenant. So we want to take a look at the way Jesus wrapped up or closed this great sermon here that He preached called the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 7 of Matthew, if you want to turn there, chapter 7 of Matthew. Now, two times in this chapter, we see the word therefore. And so we're going to kind of work our way backwards through these verses here. We're going to start at the last therefore that we see, and that's verse 24. But before we read that portion of Scripture where we see this very familiar story of two men who were both doing the work of building a house, and both houses for both houses, there's a day of testing that will give us the assessment value of the house. Now, let's read one verse prior to this story here. And that is verse 21, just several verses before this story. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, this brings up a very important question that probably a lot of us, or most of us, have probably asked ourselves multiple times, and that is, what is God's will for me? I know I've asked myself that a lot. And now, we won't do this for sake of time, but if we were to have taken the time to read the entire Sermon on the Mount, we might say that we just got done reading the Father's will manual for His children under the New Covenant, in on how we are to relate to our Father in heaven, and how we are to relate to our fellow man, and how we are to relate to this world and all the things in it. Now, the Father's will done in my life, in this verse, is what says gives me entrance into this kingdom. The Father's will done in my life. In chapter 6 of this great sermon, Jesus teaching us how to pray, and he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And so, now, with that thought in mind here, of God's will being the thing that is going, God's will done in our lives, that's going to give us the entrance into this kingdom. Let's read this portion of Scripture that we know of as the wise and foolish builders. Verse 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, I like the way Luke's wording says it here in this parallel portion of Scripture that he writes. He says, this wise man is like a man who dug deep and laid his foundation upon a rock. And I think we get the same idea there. In order to find rock, we need to work for it. We need to dig for it. And so this wise man was willing to pay the price of digging deep to lay his foundation on that rock. This rock is what gave value to all his doing. Now, the foolish man was also doing the work of building a house. However, the absence of this rock foundation so totally canceled out his doing that in this story, Jesus doesn't consider it doing at all. And his doing just had no depth under it. There was no foundation. And so your guess is as good as mine as to why he might have just stayed on the surface. So now let's keep that in mind. Let's keep in mind that as Jesus was wrapping up this Sermon on the Mount, this is the story that he's saying as he's doing wrap-up to his entire sermon. And at the beginning of this little story, we saw that word, therefore. So now let's take a look at a few verses here prior to this story. And the one verse we read already, verse 21 through 23. And Jesus gives us a picture of what total cancellation is like in that day. And that day is that day of the Lord, when we will stand before Him and be judged according to that which we have done or not done. Okay, so verse 21, let's read that verse again. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now, this list of things that the many are doing is not necessarily a list of evil works, per se. But rather, as they mention here in the verse, they considered them wonderful works. But it's not registering as such. And we can see that in Jesus' response. He didn't even acknowledge it. In verse 23, and the saddest words that we could possibly read. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. I never had this deep, intimate, knowing relationship with you. It was never there. There was no depth in the relationship with Jesus behind what they were doing. And all they're doing was just on that sandy surface. Now, let's jump up to verse 15 here. And here we see surface depth again. Verse 15. Now, while there may be a good face to it, at the core, the nature is still corrupt and evil. And we get a picture here in this portion of Scripture, down through here, from about verse 15 down to 23. We get a picture here that's exactly the opposite of the new covenant. We see in this picture, we see this push to do God's will from the outside in instead of from the inside out, as described there in Jeremiah and in Ezekiel. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and will write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. See that relationship? Beautiful relationship restored. And so that was not here in this case. And Ezekiel again, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and notice this word, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. God's spirit within us, causing us to do this. Now let's read this whole portion from verse 15 all the way down through in succession. Okay, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Notice that? Inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. And then we see that list. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things? Prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. We didn't have that inward thing going on between you and I. We didn't know each other intimately. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And so I see exactly a reversed picture here of what the new covenant is all about. God's will done from the inside out. So how can we enter into this new covenant relationship? Does God just write His law in our hearts automatically? Is there something that we can do? Well, in the beginning of this sermon, Jesus gives us a heart posture that is needed to enter and to receive this kingdom. And with that heart posture, there's a promise of hunger being filled. Hunger will be filled with that kind of a heart posture. And then if we back up here just a little further in chapter 7 here, as he brings this sermon, he begins to wrap up this sermon, and just after he's done taking all these beautiful things of, you know, how you've heard that it has been said, but now I say unto you, and he goes inward. You have heard that it has been said, and now I say unto you, and he goes inward. And at the one point, when he's talking about loving our enemies, loving our neighbors and even our enemies, he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Wow. Can you imagine what they were thinking through all this? We haven't been able to keep the law of Moses. This outward commandment that, you know, you do this and you'll live, you don't and you'll die. We've been breaking that. Remember what Jeremiah said there? You know, God said through Jeremiah there, you're breaking that law and you haven't been able to keep it. But I'm going to do this new thing. And in what's happening in their mind, they're thinking, who knows? I don't know what they might be thinking by now, but, you know, how is it going to be possible for us to find within ourselves what it takes to keep this? Wow. And he's just really, really restricting things here. And he says, you know, you're going to have to enter in at this straight gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. And so what? You can only imagine what might be going through their minds. And how, you know, all these wonderful things that you're telling us, but how are you expecting us to actually do them? And it's almost like Jesus replies and says in verse 7 here of this chapter 7, and I'm going to read it in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which I think that the way the asking is done in the present continuous state of asking, I think, is a lot more accurate than what the King James we might pull out of that. Verse 7, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find it. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Wow, what a promise. What man among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? All these wonderful things that they just got done hearing. Oh, yes, they're available if we ask and keep on asking. Not just once, not just yesterday, not just today, but tomorrow and the next day again. You know, give us this day our daily bread. We're going to need bread to live every day. And if we eat of this bread and drink of this blood, we can live. And we have what it takes to live under the new covenant. Give us day by day what we need, Lord. So fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, we want to read verse 12 here. We didn't read verse 12 here of chapter 7. And I just love this because, you know, when it gets so complicated and we're wondering, how are we ever going to do all this and make sure we're doing all the will of God? You know, it's like there's another therefore there, kind of wrapping up that section there and of all these things that Jesus was saying. And he says, therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. This is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we could teach our children this. This is the gospel in a beautiful way that the children can understand. And I just like it. It's love. Love. Just love others the way you would want them to love you. Now remember, we don't have it within ourselves. And that's why we ask. That's why we need to be asking. every day. Give us this day our daily bread. So love, yes, love is the fulfillment of the law. Though I speak, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 3, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Talk about a total cancellation of all the good that I'm doing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love. Love. The Apostle Paul also speaks of that. Love. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Bearing one another's burdens. Love. Yes, love is the fulfillment. Perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. It will cast out the fear of me not doing enough to be accepted by the Father. And I will find that love is a stronger motivator for doing the Father's will than fear ever was. Fear is a motivator from the outside in, while love is a motivator from the inside out. Inside out is what the covenant, new covenant is all about. And we know, the Apostle John says in his epistle, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. That's how we'll know. We love the brethren. 1 John 3, verse 14, that was. And as we keep ourselves in this love relationship that Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17, the world will look on and they will know that we are his disciples. And oh yes, there will be persecution. That's another one of those things that comes along with it. Because there will be some of those that really would long to be at that place, and they haven't been able to, and there will be hatred. In the context of where it says, talks about Cain hating his brother, he says, marvel not if the world hates you. Cain was one that was trying very hard, and he didn't feel that acceptance of the Father in all his doing. So we will be hated. But as we keep ourselves in that love relationship, praying and keeping ourselves there with our Father in that love relationship, we will have compassion and we will make a difference. And we'll be able to pull some out of the fire. And we'll be able to keep ourselves unspotted from the world and the flesh. And as we continue to keep ourselves in this love relationship, he is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It's out of this love relationship that he's able to do that. And so the question might come sometimes is, how much do I need to do before I know that I'm doing the Father's will? Keep ourselves in the love, and he'll cause us to do what we need to do. It's really simple. I just love the simplicity of the gospel. Love. Love. In that position, the Lord will keep us, and all fear is gone. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.